Joe, you're on Twitter.
And Stitcher. Etsy.
What?
I have a Lestat Etsy shop.
Interview tchotchkes.
Yeah, if you want to find some knit Lestats, that's a good place to go.
I whittle little Lestat dolls out of wood.
Crocheted Lestat. Greetings, savory inferiors, and welcome to Vampire Insider, the unofficial podcast dedicated to recapping and reacting to AMC's Immortal Universe, including Interview with the Vampire and the Mayfair Witches. In each episode, host Joanne Palumbo, Christina LaRusso, and myself, Mark Snedeker, summarize the episode, talk about Easter eggs, discuss standout characters and their arcs, explore some of the predominant themes, and identify the best magic moment in a segment called Witch Please. Greetings, Christina LaRusso. Greetings, Joanne Palumbo.
Hello, Mark Snedeker from the snowy mountains of the Poconos, Pennsylvania.
Well, greetings back from the sunny beaches of Florida.
Yes, hello, 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 everyone.
Christina, is that you? What are you doing here?
Well, here
running
I
the
am.
Show? I thought you were still laying on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, well, I was on the beach today, but here we are. We've got to work, and here we are. And thank God we are back to vampires.
Did you miss them?
I miss them.
Woohoo.
Oh, my God, how I miss them, especially the last probably 3 weeks of Witches. It was just hard.
See, to me, even a shit show like that gives us a lot to talk about. I just need the material. That's all I care about.
Well, right. I mean, it did give us a lot to talk about.
We were never at a loss for words. We just, you know, for me, I just was not excited about the source material. So I am super happy to be back to my bread and butter, which are vampires.
There goes all chances of being sponsored by AMC.
They're never gonna respond to our emails. AMC.
Yeah, you guys get it together.
Call me. All right. So what I want to talk about, a couple of things. Upcoming stuff. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you will have seen that I posted that this episode was going to be a discussion about Claudia's diaries as a narrative device. And we're going to be having at Slay Suite was going to be our guest, Erica.
Unfortunately, she's been turned and is now a fledgling vampire.
Transitioning at the moment.
Yeah, so. She's out hunting.
No, so she was sick. So we are
right, sick. Blood sick. Okay.
So we had to kind of come up with a new idea. We're going to be talking about the dark gift. We're also going to be talking about the relative quality between Mayfair Witches and Interview with a Vampire and whether or not that matters to the universe as a whole. So we're going to get into a little discussion about that. So we've got quite a good episode, I think, planned out for this episode. Upcoming, we will be having the diaries conversation. We are also going to be having Micah back to do the recap of the Mayfair Witches in total.
Joni thought she was done with them.
We're not quite.
And I got a lot still to say about them. Don't worry. So what I would like to talk about now, though, guys, is kind of a compare and contrast between Interview with the Vampire and
that other show,
the Mayfair Witches. And, you know, what impact do you think that the Mayfair Witches has had now, negatively or if you've got something positively to say, on the universe and the future of the universe?
I have a little bit of a controversial take, shockingly. I think, honestly, kind of some of the, let's just say, the questionable choices made by the showrunners in Mayfair may have actually helped Vampire, because right now people are ravenous for the return of Interview because they think that that's, let's get back to the show that was great rather than the show that was less than great, let's just say. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. I think the ideas of a crossover may be reconsidered, especially given some of the liberties that Mayfair Witches took with the universe in terms of the powers, et cetera. And by the way, Mayfair Witches wasn't completely unpopular. They had viewers.
They did. AMC claims that Mayfair Witches was the most popular streamed show that it's like it's ever had.
Wild.
I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, you know, you take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But I know that there are people who watched it.
I kind of agree with Mark, right? What's the saying? There's no such thing as bad press. It's got people talking a lot more. This is the off season for Interview, and there is so much chatter you know, discussing the universe. It's mostly bring back interview, don't cross over to interview. It's not very favorable for the most part to the Mayfair witches because the show just, sorry, it fell flat on its face. So in that aspect, I don't think for the universe as a whole, it's really affected it because there are so many diehard fans that are very dedicated to the subject matter of Interview with the Vampire that they can separate the two and say one has nothing to do with the other. As far as a crossover goes, I was very pro crossover because I felt like if they did crossover somehow, it would give me some sort of, I don't know, redemption or something. I don't know, something that I needed out of witches that I just wasn't getting. I thought maybe that would make me okay with it. But here's what I worry about, guys, is that we do know that Lestat and Rowan Mayfair meet. Mm-hmm. They have a relationship. And, you know, while Sam Reed is a fantastic actor, it would be a disservice. And I'm sorry, AMC, and if you choose to sponsor us one day, I'll take it all back. But I just can't see Sam Reed. Yeah, totally. I can't see Sam Reed pulling the weight of Alexandra Daddario's Rowan Mayfair. It would be very difficult to watch.
Rowan herself as a character has not been set up to be something that would be even remotely attractive to Lestat.
No, Lestat would eat her in a second. He'd be like, you're so annoying.
Lestat is far more of an intellectual than this fantastically brilliant brain surgeon. Yeah, I don't know.
Shocking.
And that's what worries me about the future of this universe, you know, and I know that's not something that's going to happen next season or maybe even, you know, who knows, maybe not the season after, but, and it's not unusual for an AMC show to run for an extremely long time. I'm talking 7, 8, 9 years. That's not very typical of most shows. Most shows don't get that type of run, but AMC shows do, and deservedly so. If they still manage to run Mayfair alongside Interview and they do get to that point, I don't know how they would do it. Maybe develop a new character into Mayfair, and that's the witch that Lestat ends up with, and just cut Rowan out of the picture altogether, possibly. Who knows?
Like, you can't get rid of Rowan Mayfair.
You could place this in Merrick and make Merrick the character that Rowan is.
Yeah.
And have that happen. And we don't know where on the Rycian timeline exists, right? 2022, Interview with the Vampire.
We do know. While Rowan is discovering her powers, Louis is spilling his guts to Daniel.
Maybe. We don't know.
Well, we do know. Louis says the date. It's 2022.
But does she? Does Rowan?
Well, they have like cell phones and stuff. They have social media. They're within 10 years of each other.
Yeah, they may be.
I think it's same. Probably.
Could be, but. Or maybe that's the way they intended to be, but they can also say, well, no, it was a different year. Because I don't think that they ever made a really strong statement of when, like, date-wise, Mayfair Witches is happening. They make no mention of the pandemic. If that existed in that timeline, they would be able to speak to that. So I don't know. I guess we'd have to watch the cars in the background to see what year the cars were, to see if they're current years. Yeah. I don't know even how to tell the year of a car. I have no idea what that
means. Does it have a backup camera? Probably pretty modern. That's
about it. Yeah.
But regardless of that, I think that it didn't affect Interview negatively or won't affect negatively. But I think that the power and the popularity of Interview is what is driving a lot behind Mayfair Witches, and they better hope and pray that Interview keeps up the momentum that they have, or they will die off on Mayfair Witches. I don't believe it was more streamed than Walking Dead or Better Call Saul or Interview itself. I don't believe them. I think
maybe there's a qualifier that it's 2020, the year 2023 or 2022 or in the past 5 years or whatever. Who knows? I don't know what the qualification might be.
Maybe their first episode was wildly viewed because people were so,
oh, I believe
you
that.
Know, coming off the heels of Interview and just, you know, chomping at the bit like we were.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think that people had just witnessed this really great filmmaking. And that's, I guess, a good place to take the conversation is like sort of where do they differ in serious ways? And one of the things is that everything was operating at top form on Interview. the cinematography, the direction, right. the
costumes,
the scripts, the costuming, all of that, everything was operated in the, and obviously the actors, we didn't even say the actors and then throw in these fantastic actors. You know, that's one of the ways that it was far superior to Mayfair.
Obviously you can't beat the writing on Interview. There was literally two words that were said on Interview with the Vampire that I was cringe. And that was bad daddy. Aside from that, every other bit of dialogue that came out of every character's mouth was well executed by the actor and well written by the writers. I fell in love with their costumes, with the cinematography, all of it, the locations they chose, the sets that they built, the way that they put in such great detail into their bedrooms and the way that they hid their beds and those little fun, the set design and all those fun little Easter eggs of just the set design. And I understand, you know, Mayfair Witches is its own show and it should stand alone on its own. But I just didn't get that from that show. It didn't feel like the same budget was put into it. You know, we joke about the fire. That was really shitty. It looked so fake.
Here's what I think the fundamental difference is. And I think it's with the showrunners. Interview on all these levels that we're talking about was very well thought out. It is a thoughtful show. They planned the dialogue very carefully. They made careful decisions on when to depart from the books and when to make, when they're paying homage to the books. They're like, okay, we know we're introducing, we're changing some things. We move the timeline, et cetera. But let's get some Easter eggs to the hardcore fans, right? Give them something to latch onto. They were
Well, and they did have that flub with the sexual assault of
And I'm not saying that doesn't mean terrible writing. It doesn't mean they can't make bad decisions.
I think they've learned from that. I think they're going to do better this season with not making a type of gaffe like that.
But everything is well thought out. The dialogue is well thought out. The stories are well thought out. With Mayfair Witches, they valued imagination over planning and thoughtfulness. Their scripts aren't well thought out. Their storylines are not well thought out. Where they've decided to make changes, they come off as arbitrary. The dialogue just is not anywhere near the quality of Interview.
And I agree with everything that you guys both said. And here's why I think they are not as good at all of those details that you just mentioned. I don't think that they read this material very carefully.
Correct. And I don't even care about the actors reading it.
Well, I think it is important for the actors to read it.
But the writers didn't read it.
If they did, I don't think that they read it in so much depth.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is critical is that the writers on Interview love the material.
Yeah.
They understand the material. They've read the material, a lot of it. Their showrunner really digs the material.
Absolutely.
And so there's an emphasis on that. The other thing that Interview did that I didn't see Mayfair Witches do, the writer's room is on Twitter and they interact. Moreover, the writer's room is looking on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because they find people's artwork and they then print that artwork out and keep that in their writer's room for inspiration to, you know, have that contact with
the
fans. They've
embraced the books rather than just using it as a jumping off
point. And it's not just the books. It's the universe they're embracing, the fans, all of it. They're nothing without the fans, right? Look, these shows could be the most fabulous shows on earth. If you don't have fans and people watching, then you're done. And they're going that extra step and saying, we see you.
Yeah.
And not only do we see you, but look, you're inspiring us.
Yes. And some of the art in the fandom on Tumblr and on Twitter that I see are great. They're just fantastic.
Oh, so you're on Tumblr now too.
Well, that's right. I am on Tumblr. Well, because remember when Twitter was breaking, I created a Tumblr account. Yeah. That's where you see a lot of the really great art. I mean, there's a lot you see on Twitter, but holy cow, on Tumblr is a ton. Yeah. So yes, you're right, Joanne. I think that they have formed a connection. Mayfair Witches never bothered to try and do that. I think that's because the writers never really got themselves deep into the Ricean universe.
They're not fans.
They don't seem to be.
Look, could I write an episode of The Vampire Diaries with my eyes closed? I could write a stellar episode. Could I write an episode of Star Trek? No. I don't know the source material. I'm not, you know, obsessed with the characters. I don't know everything about them.
Esta Spalding decided she was going to make in her what in her mind was an allegory about, you know, women's power, mm-hmm. right? And she didn't successfully either convey that, and she departed from the source material in ways that hurt the message rather than helped it. Mm-hmm. But she decided she wanted to tell her own story, which is fine, right? That's showrunners are entitled to do that. I mean, there are no TV show in the world is 100% faithful to the source material that they've, if it started in a movie or a play or a book or whatever.
You don't have to be faithful, Mark, but you have to at least make it a cohesive show. You have to make it make sense, and you have to have actors that can emote that sort of feeling that you're trying to get out. She's very one-dimensional.
Well, I think she could have pulled it off with better writing. She's a good actress. She's not a great actor, right? I mean, she's fine, but she also was handicapped by the material, and she's not Beth Grant, right? She can't overcome that by being mm-hmm. a really great actor.
And she also, I don't think that she read the books, and it was evident. But even if she had read the books.
But Harry Hamlin didn't read the books either.
Yeah, but
and he was decent.
Even if they had, it wouldn't have mattered because they would not have found those characters as written nope. in the TV series nope. in the pages of that book. They nope. couldn't have drawn anything really from them, I don't think, because it was they were so stripped of who they initially were.
Yeah.
Because, Rowan's the classic example. She was not at all strong willed or anything in the TV series.
She's frantic.
So when I went back, because what I wanted to do in preparation for what we were supposed to be doing, which was doing the diaries as a narrative device, I went back recently and watched each of those 4, 5, and 6 of the vampire, the Interview with the Vampire again.
Yes.
It is like going from a cartoon into The Godfather.
Yeah.
I mean, the level of expertise is so just on another level. I don't think I agree with you. I don't think it upsets the universe in its total. But I also think, like Joanne, I think you said, this whatever is going to come next isn't probably what they initially planned. They may have initially planned to have more of a crossover or a sooner crossover, but this season of Witches
the interview people are like, you know what? Yeah. We think we're good.
Yeah. Well, you stay over there and, we can't work you.
That's right. We're going to stick with Sam Reed and Grey Worm. You guys do what you do.
Jacob Anderson.
You. Grey Worm. You guys, you do you.
So if there ever was going to be a sooner crossover rather than later, we'll never see that. I think that's going to have impacted it. I don't think it will impact its popularity. I agree with Joanne. I think it's going to make it even more popular. As soon as you go back into watching those episodes again, it's glorious. It's absolutely glorious.
Yeah. Just how much better it's constructed.
Well, you know what I think about too is like, I know we touched on it a little bit in our last episode that we did on the last episode of Mayfair was the excitement, right? Like, just for me, I know personally, like I would just be like, oh my God, today's the day we're getting our new episode. And I could not wait to watch it. I would wake up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning and watch it because I just knew it was worth losing sleep over. It was worth being exhausted the next day at work because it was just going to leave me breathless. And every episode did. But with Witches, it was like, ugh. I got after the first 3 episodes, I was like, oh, I got to watch this again.
I mean, in retrospect, you know, we love everyone, but I do seem to remember some of those earlier episodes. You're like, I don't like that. I don't like her. I don't like that.
What, on Interview? Yeah. Yeah, totally. I didn't like Claudia at the beginning. I didn't like Lestat's accent. There was that one scene that they had showed. It was like a promo. And I'm like, when he said something about savory inferiors, I was like, I don't know. I don't like it, but I stand corrected and I owned up to that. And
Joanne, you own your shit.
That's right.
I own my shit. And I even said at the beginning of this, like day one, episode one, I'm like, okay, look guys, I'm really hoping that just like I didn't like Claudia at first and I didn't like Lestat's voice at first, I'm hoping that that's what this is going to be, that I'm just going to go, okay, I didn't like it at first, but guys, now I'm obsessed. And it never, it just never happened. Not for me. There were some shining moments. It had mainly to do with Harry Hamlin and Beth Grant. I mean, you've got two seasoned actors that knew what they were doing and put on one hell of a performance. And they stole the show. And, you know, now one's dead and nobody even talks about her. And the other, we don't know, they're turned to stone. Is he alive? Is he coming back? I don't know. What happens now without them?
Now, Witches is almost like the Buffyverse, where now this year, this season, Lasher was a big bad and Uncle Cortland was a big bad. Now we don't have that, and Carlotta, and they're all kind of neutralized except Lasher. Lasher will roll over into season two, but now what's going to be the big bad?
The Talamasca. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want my suggestion? The writers.
Yeah, the writers are the big bad. 100%.
Maybe they'll defeat the writers next season. So, and we'll talk about this more when we have Mike on, but I know you're listening, writers of Mayfair Witches. Read the fucking book.
We see you, Esther.
Read the books, okay?
Yeah, read them.
And be more careful.
Exactly.
And look, Alexandra Daddario, I know you're listening too. I've gotten your emails. I understand you're a big fan of mine. I get it. It's getting weird now. But this is what I want you to do, Alex, because she told me to call her Alex. Listen, Alex, I want you to put on the Vampire Diaries, the originals. Watch Bonnie Bennett, okay? Watch Freya Michelson. Those witches know how to witch. They know how to say incantations. Regardless, learn how to speak a spell without sounding like you're having an aneurysm, please.
Which is ironic because she's giving everyone else aneurysms around her.
All right, Mark, how is this going to go?
So, yeah, the question we posed on Twitter was, one, would you take the dark gift? And not shockingly, a vampire fandom overwhelmingly will choose to take the dark gift. But we're going to probe that a little bit. And secondly, what universe would you want to be a vampire in? And of course, it turns into, I love Damon Salvatore. I love Lestat. And I want to be in that universe.
Well, can you blame them?
No, but I think that's a less interesting conversation than thinking. Because if you're realistic, let's say you're given the dark gift in one of these universes. Are you automatically promoted to Lestat's girlfriend? Probably not, right?
Or boyfriend.
That's not as interesting conversation as saying, okay, let me just look at what the rules are for vampires in this universe.
Well, we did ask why. We did ask why.
Well, most of them were like, because he's hot. which was, I think, yes. I think it's a more interesting conversation to talk about the rules of vampires in these various universes and which ones appeal to you. Just off the top of my head, the ones I was considering, and jump in if you think of other ones you'd want to think about, of course, the Immortal Universe, Anne Rice, True Blood, the Buffyverse, Vampire Diaries, and Twilight.
All right, I'm going to throw in
one.
Discovery of Witches.
They don't even have fangs, but go on.
Joanne, you liked that show.
I loved that show, but they don't have fangs.
Okay, anyway, right. So that one,
Dracula.
Right. Love it first bite. I feel like we have to throw that in.
I would 100% be a disco vampire. I'm super down with that. I didn't know that was a choice. I'm now changing my choice to disco vampire.
And? Lest we forget, Vampiros Lesbos.
Okay, that's not even going to be included in the discussion. First of all, I definitely don't qualify there.
You could have been a minion.
No, well, okay, I don't really have minion energy. So let's start with, I think, probably our most rabid vampire fan. All right, Joni. We know your answer, but I want to hear you break it down, and it can't be Damon Salvatore.
So, all right, Mark, you know, it didn't take much for me to come up with an answer on this one.
I bet not.
Because it is something that I have given a lot of thought to long before I even knew who you were, let alone had this podcast.
You're definitely our Vampire Diaries expert. You have a PhD in the Salvatore family.
Just call me Dr. Salvatore. Anyway, yes, I would choose to be in the Vampire Diary universe, but it's not just because they're the most gorgeous vampires on the face of this earth. It's because, one, they can daywalk. And I know, Mark, you don't like that, but they can, versus, you know, like the Twilight daywalkers, they glitter. That's a, you know, massive inconvenience, right? Like, you're going to stand out in a crowd if you're at the beach.
I mean, I do anyway, but okay.
Well, that's because you're so blindingly pale.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's obviously number one for me. I've always said, like, my number one rule to be a vampire. I mean, it's not going to make or break, right? Like, if there's a vampire listening and day walking isn't a thing, I'm still interested, but it's a nice to have. And they blend in with the crowd with the day walking, right? They have their little rings.
Pretend I don't watch the Vampire Diaries. Tell me what the rings do.
They have their daylight rings, which are made of lapis lazuli. And it could be a ring, it could be a necklace, a bracelet, whatever it is. It just has to be spelled by a witch. So they have that ability, which lets them blend in, right? Then you've got the compulsion, which is where they're able to look into, you know, a human's eyes and make them do whatever it is they want them to do. Very similar to glamoring, like they do on True Blood, but less creepier. If, you know, because I just picture Vampire Bill. Sometimes he just gives off like creep vibes, but
he does.
Regardless. Oh, 100%. But I would be completely there for Eric Northman to glamour me.
Oh, Eric Northman can do a lot more than glamour me. but that's a whole other episode. So, you know, so there, like I said, we've got the day walking, we've got the, you know, the ability for compulsion, and they have this really neat ability. And I'm trying to remember if other universes have something similar, and I'm sure that they do, where they can kind of go into your thoughts and they can share thoughts with each other. And I guess it's similar to, you know, Lestat being able to read people's minds and whatnot, but it's a little bit deeper than that. It's like they can go into your memory and then kind of alter it with you.
Armand can play mind tricks like that.
Yeah. So it's similar to that. You know, a lot of these stories are loosely based off of Louis and Lestat and Anne Rice's universe. So that you're always going to find some little tidbit. But also with Vampire Diaries, I like that there are other creatures. It's not just vampires. You've got werewolves. You've got witches. Witches that don't sound like they're having aneurysms when they're saying
me, Wendy.
I don't know what the hell that sound was, but don't you two ever do that again. And their spells are really cool. And they've got grimoires, you know, the Book of Spells. And they do really cool spells and stuff like that with them. They've got doppelgangers, which is something pretty cool. You know, there's the whole storyline of them, basically how they were made through the originals. There's so many layers and elements and cool things within that universe that has just always drawn me to it over and over. I'm on my 10th rewatch of it. And they're not whiny. You know, they're not really whiny. They know who they are. They accept for the most part who they are. And a lot of them are good natured. I do like my vampires to be a little bit more evil, which is probably why I'm Team Damon, because he's an asshole most of the time till, you know, he gets Elena's love and then he softens up.
Of course.
Well, of course, it's all he needed was a woman's love to make him better. So it's all those things. And then of course it goes without saying, I want to live in a universe that Damon Salvatore is a real living being.
All right. So let me ask a couple of questions. How do you kill a Vampire Diaries vampire?
You put a stake through their heart.
So that one works. Okay.
Or you cut off their head. They're vulnerable to vervain, which is like an herb that you can inject them with, or maybe like soak a rope in it and tie them up. And that kind of holds them down. You could snap their necks and knock them out, so to speak, for a little bit. But then you have the originals. The originals can't be killed by just, like, you could stake an original in the heart. You're not going to kill them. They can only be killed with something with wood from the white oak tree, which they burned down, all of them in existence.
I mean, that's a smart move.
There's still some floating around and it's caused some issues. But yeah, that's pretty much the only way you can kill an original is the white oak stake. But yeah, Vampire Diaries is just, it's your casual stake in the heart. They can go into churches. They can touch holy water. They can eat garlic. They eat regular food.
Do they? Is it like, are they faking it?
They're doing it just to keep up appearances. They love to drink red wine. Red wine is, they supplement blood with red wine.
Well, in the TV series, they would eat, Claudia eats something, they eat, but that doesn't taste good to them. She said, she when she's turned, she says, well, I can't eat the things that I used to like to eat don't taste that good to me anymore.
Yeah.
And we've learned from Louis during a dining session with Daniel that the things that he eats, if he eats human food, it tastes like paste there's no real good flavor to it. So
what if a werewolf bites them?
You're right. That is deadly to them. A werewolf bite. However, the cure is Klaus Michelson's blood because he is the original hybrid.
So, and is there constant warfare going on?
Yeah, there's always been something that they've been, fighting against. And it's usually was centered around protecting Elena and who did Elena love. And
so what struck me as you were talking about this is that it is so similar. There's so much that they've obviously taken from the Anne Rice universe.
Of course.
And if you think about all of the things probably that we're going to talk about that were post Anne Rice, they all borrow from that, which is making the vampires very human. Where if we were to, I said Dracula.
Yeah.
But if you really would be a part of Dracula's universe, that would look very different from, Dracula is just a monster. He's not trying to fit in.
No.
And sneak around and be a part of society and.
He's trying to fit into that window so he can bite that girl on the neck.
That's right. It's true. So it's interesting to me to hear how much is really drawn from Anne Rice.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And here's the thing that I like about the Vampire Diary universe or even Twilight. You don't have to be a killer, right? Or any of them, even Anne Rice's universe. You don't have to kill. They don't have to. They're choosing to, which I think is something interesting because they can't control their impulses. I understand that. Maybe your first few times, you go overboard and you kill the person you're drinking your dinner from. But ultimately, they should be able to control themselves and only take as much as they need and not have to be these prolific killers. But here we are.
Okay, Mark, what about you?
All right, look, here are the universes again that I consider: True Blood, Immortal Universe, Buffyverse, Vampire Diaries, Twilight. And then now we're expanding it to include like the traditional Dracula. Mm-hmm. And there's that temptation out there being Disco Dracula.
I know there is.
Pretty cool with that. But so let me say I eliminated Buffyverse right off the bat, because when you're a vampire, with very few exceptions, if you're a vampire in the Buffyverse, you lose whoever you were. You're now, there's an actual demon that is inhabiting your body. Plus, you have to have that wrinkly forehead thing.
Yeah, that's unattractive.
When you're eating things. And you're basically unabashedly evil.
Yeah, it's more like the Salem's Lot vampire.
Yeah.
More of a true monstrous vampire.
Right, so I took them out. Traditional Dracula, I'm going to take a pass on that as well. Again, he's an evil monster, and I'm a kind-hearted, sweet man. Plus, he doesn't have enough cool powers, I don't think, to stack up with some of these modern vampires. True Blood is interesting, but I don't know. I feel like that whole universe is very problematic for vampires because they've decided to come out, right? And there's a lot of persecution and a lot of internecine warfare. And when you die, you end up into a big pile of goo. Mm-hmm. And it seems like True Blood vampires die a lot, like die the true death a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a pass on True Blood. So that leaves me with Interview, Vampire Diaries, and Twilight. Vampire Diaries, don't know enough about it. I mean, they do sound like it's a pretty sweet gig.
Really is.
I'm probably okay with that, but I don't know enough about it to make that decision. Interview, obviously, is one of the better developed universes. In my opinion, they have a decent, not perfect, but a decent balance between being the powers of being a vampire and the drawbacks of being a vampire. Because honestly, if from an audience point of view, it's not very interesting if they're all powers and no weaknesses, right? That's just not an interesting book, movie, show, whatever for me. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about watching the show, right? We're talking about living the life. So Would I like to be, do I think daywalking vampires are stupid? I sure do. But if I'm a vampire, do I want to be able to daywalk? I sure do. Do I want to, you know, I'd love to just be able to do whatever I want and just have superpowers. So believe it or not, and I know Christina guessed this already, I'm going to choose Twilight.
Interesting.
Because I can stay, I can go out at night. I can go out during the day. In fact, I think Twilight vampires never sleep, which is a little bit of a problem because I do like sleeping, but I assume I'll get over that. So it, some of your strongest characteristics get amplified by being turned. So imagine, if you will.
Oh, God.
Would you be a professional? Would you be a professional impersonator? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. I would be so good at trivia. Like, we would win all the trivias, right? We would go. I'd go on Jeopardy, and I would make Ken Jennings look like a piker, right? Piece of cake.
No, imagine how much good, how like how great you'd be at dancing.
Oh, well, I mean,
like just sparkling in the sun while you're doing your fly, moves.
So that would give me a little bit of an advantage.
Wow. I could do some Lestat. That would be something. Yeah,
I could do some Lestat at the Théâtre des Vampires moves if I wanted. Like, like go up there and just do 15 flips. Like, I think there's something wrong here. Are we at Cirque du Soleil? What is going on here?
Are there wires?
Yeah. I don't see any wires, bro. I'm getting out of here.
How could he do it?
And the only drawback, I think, other than obviously you have, you know, a lot of natural antagonists with the werewolves and the other vampires and things like that. And you have to live in Seattle, apparently.
Well, that's it. You could live kind of unnoticed with your sparkling, like as long as you're in a cloudy enough place. So that would be like, I would assume like Scotland.
Yeah,
or like, Ireland,
yeah,
I'd
probably go to, you know, live in London
UK. Or Northeast Pennsylvania in the winter.
Exactly. Yeah. But the drawback is it is possible that at a certain point, I would just be so annoyed by the insipid nature of the universe that I'm in, I would just take my own life. Like, I would just be, you know what? This is silly. Like, I'm going to do the Monty Python and the sketch. It's like, this is silly. And I would just take my own life. And by the way, if I had to wear a ring to daywalk, you know, kind of ring I'd get.
Cock ring.
Yeah.
What the hell? What the hell kind of comment is this?
I mean, it just has to be lapis lazuli, right?
You wouldn't have to worry about anybody ripping it off of you, I suppose.
Probably not, yeah. God, where does he keep his ring? You don't want to know.
You'd have to get a Prince Albert. I think that would be the way to go.
Oh, God,
Prince
no.
Albert.
I don't even like keeping my keys in my pocket. I don't want anything sharp near my boys.
All right.
Why are we having this conversation?
Because I don't know how we got our cock rings, but here we are.
Oh, God.
Okay, so that's my answer. Even though I hate the universe, mm-hmm. I hate the books, I hate the movies. If they ever make a TV show, I'm going to find the showrunner and beat him to death with his clipboard. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the most advent. There's no drawbacks to being a Twilight vampire, really.
How do you kill a Twilight vampire? I can't remember.
You rip their head off in an open field, apparently.
Yeah, you can.
What is that?
Yeah.
Decapitation, so it's kind of a Highlander thing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even know. I mean, I don't know if you stake them, if it makes any difference. Not to my knowledge. So I think you just have to like rip their head off or just totally dismember them. Christina, I assume you've given this a ridiculous amount of thought.
Well, no, I haven't, because honestly, my answer to would you take the dark gift? My answer would be no.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, but, I didn't get to that yet either. But yeah.
All right. So.
But let's assume you have to.
Yeah. So assuming that I have to, then I'm going to probably go with a Discovery of Witches universe.
All right. Tell me why.
I like that it sets the vampires into very real life lives.
Like they're insurance salesmen.
They're all fabulously intelligent. Yeah. You know, because all the vampires you meet in this generally are older vampires that had either millennia or at least hundreds of years.
If you can't put together a bankroll after 1,000 years, just give it up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just buy one stock, okay?
Right. Fine. Right. So the vampires have distinctive traits about them. The demons have distinctive traits, and the witches have distinctive traits. So everybody has their own thing that they're supposed to be like. Within the creature community, they are clashing in some ways. You know, sort of everybody looks down on demons, but they really shouldn't. And vampires are the most ambitious and sort of the refined and elegant the vampires tend to be. And witches are tremendously powerful with their magic. They don't have to drink human blood. They can drink animal blood, which I think is, you know, that's, then I'd be that if right. I had to be right. a vampire.
Just kill squirrels and stuff.
But they can also eat and enjoy food. And what you find out in that story is that Diana, as she's preparing to host Matthew for dinner, she goes and she does research on the diet of a gray wolf. And that's the closest diet that's the diet that sustains vampires the best.
Okay.
And
like elk.
Yeah. Well, like
bison.
Raw, lean game
yeah.
meat. And they do sleep, but not all, you know, they don't sleep a lot, but they do sleep. They have a heartbeat. So those guys like Edward, they're cold. They talk about them being cold and not, you know, they're not,
like
their hearts aren't beating.
Like the warmth, yeah.
Right. So these guys have heartbeats. Mm. So they're very, very close to humans.
If you're going to be a vampire, you want to be the most human vampire.
Yeah, I probably would want to be the most human vampire. If you were to put me into the Anne Rice universe, and I don't think that Harkness's, her Discovery of Witches universe exists without Anne Rice. I think that you have to have that before she gets to where she is.
Yeah.
But I think that if you would put me in the Anne Rice universe, I'd be Louis. I'd right. be
hang on to as much of your humanity as
much
as you can.
Trying to hold on to as much of my humanity as possible.
And you would be very emo.
Well, I probably would, because can you imagine? I can't, wouldn't want to live forever. That's just too much.
So you've answered the Queen song.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. No one.
Who wants to live forever? Not me.
Here's my problem with the Discovery of Witches vampires. They don't have fangs.
Right.
It bothers me.
I don't know. To me, that's an aesthetic thing.
Yeah, but I'd want to, you know what I mean? Like, that's part of the thing. Like, somebody, you know, pisses you off and you turn around and you're like.
You like to be able to snarl.
Yeah, if you don't have fangs, you're just like look like a hissing dog. You're like, like, I'm sorry, do you have something in your throat, sir? Like, what?
Why are you threatening me with phlegm?
Right, but if you've got fangs, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck.
It doesn't matter to me. That aesthetic doesn't matter to me as much as it would matter to me that if I do become a vampire, that I am turned at a time when I am at my top notch physically. Like, don't turn me now.
Yeah, that's the one tricky thing is that you're
exactly.
frozen in time with most of these. Now, I think in the Mortal Universe, you lean up a little bit, right? You get a little leaner and... tougher.
Seems like, and then as time goes on,
you smooth out.
Yeah, and as time goes on, your appearance starts to change. You get more, and look at Akasha and Enkel; they're stone.
Yeah,
you know they've been alive so long that they're now statues that move slowly but also fast.
Well,
super slow, but you can't get out of the way.
Yeah, it's like I can see the train coming; I just can't get off the tracks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and he's stepping on my head.
How do they day walk in witches? Are they just all day walkers?
Yeah, they can just day walk. They don't sleep much. They sleep, but they don't sleep much. So they might do their hunting at night or whatever, because that's when they won't be seen. They'd be the most inconspicuous. However, in Discovery of Witches in the series, his mother goes out, Isabel goes out and hunts with Diana. And Diana's a witch. She's not a vampire, but she takes her out on a hunting expedition and she, I guess, catches a fox or something. Here we are with the fox again.
I know. Why? Poor foxes.
That's where what mine would be. And I think in that universe, I might choose to be a witch.
Yeah.
Maybe more than a vampire.
Yeah.
Because then but if I have to take the dark gift and be a vampire, it's going to be in that universe.
Right.
But again, it's very derivative of the Ricean immortal universe.
Yeah.
And I think, especially when you start to bring the Mayfair witches into it in the proper way. So Joe, I know that you've got a number of the answers that were provided on our Twitter question. So do you want to share some of those with us?
Absolutely. So the question that we posed was, okay, so I know we've asked this question before, but if you could be turned into a vampire, would you? Why? And what universe would you want to exist in? So I'm going to read some of the answers we got. And I have to start with my absolute favorite. And I don't know how we missed this as a possible universe, but collectively we did. So this answer was given by the username Cunt Dracula.
How ironic.
Points for the name. Their at is Cryptid TWT. Their answer is simply the Lost Boys, because they're just being gay at the beach.
Oh, 100%.
That's actually a good one. Yeah,
that's a good one. Although, they were ugly. They turned ugly when they became vampires.
They had the Buffyverse disease.
They had that where they looked normal and they could integrate into society. But boy, you had to really terrify your victim when you were going to kill it.
Oh yeah.
And I just really wouldn't feel like I'd wouldn't want. I have too much empathy. I'm telling you, I can't. I couldn't do any of this. That's a good one. Oh, excellent.
Then we have from our friend at Creative Spoonie, Jenna IWTV Vamp Chronicles. Without a second thought, I would. I choose to be an Anne Rice vamp because of the gifts. For my maker, I would choose Gregory because I absolutely love him, and his vampy vamp family seems to be the least toxic of all the VC vampires. My reason for not hesitating is probably different than a lot of people's. I've been chronically ill for the vast majority of my life. I want to know what it's like to have the exact opposite of a defective body, and I want all the enhancements and the powers. That's a really good answer. That's a good,
well thought out answer.
Wow, yes. That's far better than any answer we gave.
We just want to be sexy.
I just like being as human as possible.
I want to be rich, you know.
That's a very thoughtful answer. Thank you.
I have a very similar one from at Lindy Sambora, who has an awesome username. It's Lindy Lestat Cockmuncher.
All right.
They said, the only reason I scoff at immortality now is because my physical health sucks. So if that was fixed when Lestat turned me, sure, I'd be a vamp. My personal reason is that I want to learn and read all the things, so I need both the time and health to do so. I'd probably hang with Louis. I don't blame you. The next one I have is from at Sentient Bees. Their username is Mags Benji's podcast co-host. Their answer is, yes, immortality, here I come. Anne Rice vampires seem the coolest, but also super volatile. Sparkly Twilight vampires seem to have the least downside.
Absolutely correct.
That is so true.
But also the most annoying.
It would be cool to be an Anne Rice vampire, though, because they do have...
There's a lot of drama. No doubt about it. If you like drama, that's a good place to look.
And it's a really open universe. I like the fact that there's no indication none whatsoever in A Discovery of Witches that you can't be gay. Obviously you can.
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
So yeah, so inclusive.
But if you're in Anne Rice's universe, are you going to go book Anne Rice or TV show Anne Rice?
Well, because book Anne Rice, you don't
get no
sex.
You don't get no play. That's right. It's all blood. Well,
later on.
Yeah.
Later on, you can. They do.
The one concern I would have being in the immortal universe is you have the, at least for a certain period of time, the chance of the most badass, undefeatable vampire just burning you to death. Kasha could just decide, you know what? You're not going to make it till tomorrow. Snaps her fingers. You're on fire. You're dead.
You have a capricious god.
Yeah, that's not great, right? Like the CEO of Vampire Incorporated is a little bit hot-headed.
That's true.
I got two more yeses and then one no.
Okay.
So our next one is Dave from Brooklyn, our friend at BKLYN_HAYSHUN. He simply said, I would, without question, be a badass death dealer. #underworld.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's a good one.
Yeah.
So the underworld vampires are basically kung fu masters, right? They are really badass. And they fight. I mean, there's werewolves involved. There's just a lot of combat. So if you like fighting, that's a good one to go with.
Yeah. Well, apparently Dave from Brooklyn is into that. So
he is. Well,
I believe that.
Dave. He's very combative.
Dave, yes. Yeah, I believe that about Dave.
Like he's challenged me to fight 3 to 4 times.
It was a lot. You know, yeah. I was.
Yeah, he'd kick your ass. Dave,
we don't even live within, 100 miles of each other.
Dave, it's Twitter. What are we
doing? We're not fighting. What are you doing?
Jokes. It's the jokes.
It is the jokes.
All right. The next one is The last one of the yeses from our very good friend, Dynamis 1000, who, Dynamis, get your ass on this show. Her answer is, she's literally like, guys, if you don't follow her, go follow her.
Follow her. She is so smart and so funny. Oh my God.
So this is her answer. She said, sure, 30 fucking years ago. Not when you're old with gray pubes and tits in your shoes. Fuck that. Lucky for many people because so many of them would be dead. So damn many. Loud chewers, people who stand too close to you while you're at the ATM. Ted Cruz, I'd be so extravagant.
I'm not.
She'd be so extravagant.
I'm not sure Dynamouse has the temperament to be a judge, that's for sure, because now loud chewing is now a capital offense.
I'm with her. Yeah, I'm with her.
Sure I second that.
Oh my God, don't lunatics. Crunch anywhere near me unless I am also crunching.
Then you can co-crunch.
Yeah.
So, all right, this is our last one. And if you want, go check out the thread. There's a lot of good answers. Definitely just can't get to them all. At Drunk Bleach, DRONKBLEACH. And their name is Tempe CR, the Eye of the World. They said, I wouldn't. I've pondered over whether or not I'd accept immortality before. With vampires being immortal and all, the same applies. The issues I have with immortality is, yeah, it'll be nice for the first 1,000 or so years. But everyone you love will die. You won't. You'll have to bear all of that. Eventually, you'll experience all there is to experience. And at that point, what is life? Nothing at all. Existence will be meaningless. And you simply wait for the heat of death of the universe. Grim, Tempe, but okay.
No, but
that's true.
It's true.
Fair enough, right?
Okay, so that kind of leads into the moral question, because I think that those two things sort of, do you want to have immortality, and what, you know, what kind of moral qualifications or questions are there in the universe that you chose to live in? So for me, it's definitely a moral question. I really would have a struggle. I couldn't live in a universe where I had to only kill humans. And I was just like, so that would preclude the Lost Boys. That would include like Salem's Lot, regular original Dracula,
right?
All of those
Buffyverse,
right? So I think that
True Blood. Well, you could drink the fake
blood. Well, True Blood, you got the
synthetic blood. Right? Yeah. So I would feel uncomfortable doing that. So morally, that's a problem for me with respect to the immortality. Just as that person who followed us on Twitter said, it. For me, after a certain point, you can only learn or do or try so much before you just get completely bored out of your mind. And I give him credit for thinking it would last 1,000 years. I don't think it would last 1,000 years. And we've talked to before about how difficult it would be to lose touch completely and have the entirety of society around you lose touch with the way that you grew up, because those are going to be your foundational values.
Like, right? After 1,000 years, you can't go back and listen to 80s music.
Probably not.
Because there's, you know, unless you have your own private collection, I guess. But, you know, there's nowhere to go to. Oh, I'd really like to, you know, see Duran Duran on their last tour. Well, their last tour was a millennium ago.
Yeah, right.
But you know what, though? 80s music is so transcendent. I think that 1,000 years.
It'll cycle now, back around. It'll be the 3,080s.
Oh, my God.
I can remember 1,000 years ago. Here's a blast from the past. I would have to say, the immortal universe, the vampires don't seem that happy.
They really do. Well, but I think that there's an age, you know, some of them are getting so old. They get so old and they're suffering from they're tired of it. And they go through those phases where they go to sleep deep underground.
Right. Which, by the way, I could definitely get down with that.
Oh, my God. 1,000-year nap. Sign me up.
Wake up refreshed.
Oh, refreshed. And also a pile of bones.
Desiccated.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm a little dry. You're dry.
I need some moisturizer. Oh. Some oil of Olay to spring back into shape.
Please help me.
I also think there's the ick factor, right? Like, I mean, I guess you'd get to like it, but I don't really, there's not very many people in the world that I want to get so close to that I would fasten onto their neck like a lamprey. Right? Like, I could count them on maybe one hand.
Well, but I mean,
and they would.
And you're talking to two.
Exactly. Right, and then, you know, you guys don't have infinite supply of blood, so.
No, but I think that you would, I wonder if, well, of course, what changes about you when a when you're changed? What is there some kind of switch that goes on?
Oh, yeah.
It depends. It depends on the universe.
First, there's no chance that having that big of a life change, having that much power and longevity is not going to change you in some fundamental way. Mm-hmm. No chance. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be same old Mark, mm-hmm. just with superpowers, mm-hmm. right? There's no chance of that happening. Chances are I would start to become even more evil than I already am. Mm-hmm. Think how bossy I would be.
Yeah, well, imagine this, because, you know, like in the vampire universe, like some of your best and your worst qualities are amplified, right? Could you imagine the mega bitch would be as a vampire?
Well, first of all,
the sarcasm that would flow out of me.
The anger issues might be a problem. Yeah. Just saying.
The anger issues.
Blood rage.
Like, there would just be.
Yes.
So I would totally be a ripper. 100% I'd be a ripper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You would be like, you know what? This is nice and all, but you did, you know, you're wearing whatever, white pants after Labor Day. I'm ripping your head off.
You must go. Yeah, no, I would. I'd be so fucking petty with my kills. Just so petty. Like,
you would be burnt at the stake in no time. They'd humans would find you and get you, and that would be the end. Because they'd be like, she's just too mean when she comes through Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Like, man, you can't come in here and slice people's throats anymore. Like, get a coffee or go home.
They took a little bit too long on your mocha, you know?
Mild inconvenience, I am outraged in real life, or as it is right now. Imagine.
If you say my pleasure one more time, I'm taking you out.
But no, and I'd also have to turn Remy because, you know.
Well, that's the thing is, would you also, if you got turned, would you turn those close to you so they could stay with you? Is that selfish?
No. No. Like my siblings?
Oh, no. Well, fuck them. They're, you know, I'm leaving them in the dust.
They'd be the first ones whose throat I tore out. Are you kidding me? Here's the thing that frightens me about myself. All these things that are very valid concerns by rational people, watching everybody they know die, getting bored, getting out of touch, having to kill people, drinking blood, sucking on somebody's neck. I gotta tell you, none of that bothers me.
No, I know. That's why I truly believe you when you say, yeah, I would take the dark gift. I think 95% of people are bullshitting, but I definitely believe that. I mean, you're halfway there. If for all I know, you're a vampire now.
I just need that immortality. Yeah. I could be, right? But none of it bothers me. I could deal with everything you put in. Anything you say, well, what about this? I know I'm okay with it.
Well, you're a misanthrope. You just hate people.
All right. So, Mark, what about you and the morality?
Well, you know how moral I am.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't want to be the bane of humanity, right? Because as much of a wise ass as I might be, I'm also somewhat of a people pleaser too, right? Mm-hmm. I want people to like me. Mm-hmm. That's where the jokes.
Do you?
Of course. I mean, not every person, believe me.
You might want to rethink some things. I'm just going to leave it at that.
You say my strategy is a little ill-formed? Possibly correct. So I don't want to be set against humanity. Mm-hmm. I like humanity. They're the home team for me, right? The only temptation would be is, you know, like after 400 or 500 years, I'd probably be pretty good at some shit, right? And I could really elevate humanity, although maybe after 400 or 500 years, I still wouldn't be able to paint or, you know, make music. I don't know. But I, you know, that would be the only thing. Like, could I possibly guide humanity in kind of the Highlander way, you know, where you like, you can sense everybody's feelings.
Everything.
And try to, you know, I know everything. Well, that was also, by the way, a terrible ending. So could I possibly guide humanity and get them over some of the rough spots and like, you know, go and take out Putin, you know, and whatever. Maybe that would be tempting.
Oh, well, there's a good question for you. Right. Could
I be the policeman of the world?
Let me stop. That would be cool. So here's the question though, as a vampire and these guys like Lestat, we're about to go through in the TV series anyway, a period where World War II is happening.
Yeah.
And they would have, if you were a vampire, you could get to Hitler probably.
Absolutely.
So would you do it? If you were a vampire, why wouldn't they? Here's that. So there's the question, because they don't want to interfere in human life.
I think they just don't care enough. You know, I don't think only Louis would care somewhat. And he would be so concerned about unintended consequences, which, by the way, is a valid concern. Mm-hmm. So you kill Hitler. What happens?
The devil you don't know.
Yeah. You know, maybe Goering takes over.
For Himmler and they're more successful.
Exactly. And they're not as loony and they're more successful or whatever. But I think, you know, that would be tempting. Take out the leader of that country and maybe, you know, anybody who supports him and, you know, whip him into shape. But then now I'm a tyrant. Mm-hmm. Right. And I love my country, but I'm also not naive enough to think that it's always right. Mm-hmm. Right. That we're somehow infinitely morally superior to everyone else. Mm-hmm. So but that would be the tempting thing is if I could possibly become this Christ-like figure and lead the world, maybe, but probably not.
Wow. That's deep.
I know it is deep, Joanne. It's super deep. Leave it to Mark.
Well, whatever.
Oh, man.
Let's think about it this way. So a lot of the objections to being a vampire have to do with, you know, outliving your family, having to drink blood, all that, you know, killing people. You don't have to outlive your family if you don't want to.
True story.
You could just decide after 40 or 50 years, that's it. I'm done. Peace out, Cub Scouts, and just end it. So if that is the case, superpowers, still have to drink blood. You don't have to kill people, but you also have the choice not necessarily to outlive everybody you love. You definitely won't age, but...
You won't age, so you won't be able to be around the people that you love.
Ask me how that goes. It's fine. Thank you.
Oh, my God. If you wouldn't be around them, like, let's say...
You could be.
Well, right? How? You're not changing and they are. Suddenly Joan is 20 years older than I am.
So there's a movie. I've never seen the whole movie. I've only seen like scenes of it on like TikTok or something where Harrison Ford is in it. And this woman that he fell in love with when he was young.
At the age of Adeline.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. And she just doesn't age.
Right.
And but her mom, her daughter rather, who looks like her mom, mm-hmm. you know, knows. Right. And they still see each other and stuff. But I mean, obviously she has to move on after 5 or 10 years in a particular town because they notice that she's not changing at all. So you're saying that, well, what if you did, like you do wear makeup or something or just like wear a...
Or what if you just come clean to them and tell them that you're a vampire? And if they freak out, you just, you know, glamour them or compel them, whatever you want to call it, so that they forget. And you're like, no, I was never here. And you leave.
Mommy's a vampire, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be tough for me to be able to know that my kids were aging. I don't want to put my kids in the
room. But you could also turn them.
I could turn them, but I would wait until Joan is a little bit older and Carly and Ava so that they're adults, right? Yeah, yeah. Like I'd turn.
You're not going to make the Claudia mistake.
No, I would turn them.
Let them have a couple kids first. That's what you do. You let them have
Then I've got more problems. Then there's grandkids. No.
Well, then you turn them.
Oh my God.
Christina's going to be like a conveyor belt of turning people into vampires.
No,
you're a vampire. You're a vampire. Everybody's a vampire.
See, I met this nice old lady at Kroger. I had to turn her.
She seems so nice.
I couldn't live my life without her.
And what if you weren't a vampire? You just found a medicine that would extend your life, but it only works on you and maybe 1% of the population or something. You're not taking it. You're just going to die.
No, I'll just
when it's your time.
Go when it's my time. Yeah. Right.
I want to live to be like 190.
Yeah,
like
right. What?
I don't know. No, I'd want to.
What if you were like?
I just think you stay alive too long, you get batty.
What about the elves in Middle Earth? They live thousands of years.
Mark, I think that you go mad, and okay. I don't think that it would be. I don't want to.
So you're saying all existence is just a ticking time bomb counting down to madness?
I think so. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So thank you all for the excellent discussion.
Yeah.
Joni, can you take us out with some social media shit?
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, we've got a lot of great answers to our question we posed that we discussed today about would you become a vampire? If so, why and what universe? So if you want to read some of those, if you want to add to the discussion, please do. You can find us on Twitter @vampire_insider. You can also follow us on our personal Twitter accounts. I am @justblockme_1. Christina is @ChristinaGenX. And Mark is @MarkEatsPeach. You can also find us on Facebook, Reddit. Sometime, someday, maybe we'll be back on Instagram. But you just search Vampire Insider and you can find us. keep interacting with us. We love keeping in touch with you guys. And that's it. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to tell all your friends about us. Good night.
Bye.
Peace out, murder goblins.
And Cunt Dracula. You can hit us up in DM. We have some t-shirts for you.
Yeah, we can get some merch.
We got a few of them.
You got a couple t-shirts.
And if you're suffering from microphallus, I've got a t-shirt for you as well.
All right.